producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. Corey and I are chatting right now with Valentin Schmidt. Valentin is the business editor of the Epoch Times. Epoch Times specializes in news, both positive and negative, certainly out of mainland China. The big event this week in terms of mainland China was that Mrs. Lagarde basically said that the Chinese yuan needs to be included in the IMF's basket of special drawing rights. Tell us about that, Valentin.
Yeah, so that's a fairly interesting. China first emerged as a hot contestant to be included in this world's reserve currency at the beginning of the year. Let's take a step back to first explain what this even is. Most people don't even know what is this SDR, special drawing right. It's basically a unit of account that the IMF uses, and it doesn't really represent anything. You know, they have this basket of currencies that make up this unit of account, so now it's the dollar, the euro, the yen, the pound sterling, and it's going to be the renminbi as well. Once the decision will be official at the end of November, they have a board meeting, they make it official. But all you get is a price. So now one SDR is worth $1.37, and IMF member countries, they get allotted SDRs. So, I don't know, maybe the United States has 1 million SDRs, just as an example, and they're worth $1.4 million. But until you actually exchange them for real money, there's really nothing behind it. So, and they're very seldomly used for anything, really. Like, only if a country is under severe stress will they go to the IMF and say, hey, we want to exchange our allotment, we want to exchange our SDRs, and get some real cash for it. And the way that works is that's like an off-market transaction where basically the one country comes and then says, okay, I want to get rid of the SDRs. Is there anybody who wants to buy the SDRs and give me dollars? And then if that's not the case, that's actually interesting, then the IMF can determine someone, can force a member to do that transaction. So in the case of China now, it's funny because they actually don't gain anything, because people don't have to buy the yuan now, not just as part of the SDR. No, it's just an accounting thing that influences the basket. But the IMF could say, theoretically, and I'm making an extreme example here, exchange all of the existing SDRs that everybody else has for your dollar assets or whatever. Under the legal terms, that's possible. So in my opinion, this is actually not that useful for China, because it is more responsibility and they don't really get anything from it. And on top of it, they have now stricter reporting requirements. They have to update their gold reserves every year. They have to tell the IMF what's in their reserve, in their currency reserves, which we previously didn't know, the 3.5 trillion that are still left. So all in all, it's basically a matter of prestige, because supposedly only the best currencies get into this basket, but in practical terms, it's actually a net loss for China, in my opinion.
So, Valentin, it sounds like you do not agree with those people out there that argue once the yuan is included in the SDR basket, then some more foreign investment, so that more money will flow into the country, which could help support this falling market.
Absolutely not, just because the SDR only gets meaning and actually real transaction value if somebody came to the IMF and said, I want to sell my SDRs. First of all, that never happens. And second, they'd have to say, I want to exclusively exchange it for Chinese yuan assets. And even if that happens, that doesn't mean that there's actually a market demand for it. It's an off-market transaction where basically some Chinese assets get swapped for SDR. It's not like you you would have to bid for it in the open market. So yes, it takes some assets off the market, which, you know, by then extension reduces the supply, et cetera, et cetera. But this is so far removed from anything real, especially if money flowing into the country. No, it's going to be China. Even if that SDR transaction happens, it's just China giving up assets or somebody selling Chinese assets. And that's it. And then what they get in exchange is SDR, which again don't really have any real world application because you cannot buy anything with it. Nothing will change for China. The only thing I will say here is that it may be an important step in the future because there are these rumors that the IMF wants to make the SDR the world's, you know, real currency. Well, then that's the difference, of course. If the SDR becomes more important in the future, then obviously by extension and will actually be used in reality, then by extension the yuan will also be more important. But that's not the case right now.
It's not the case right now, but having said that, what are the odds of the IMF accomplishing their goal to make the SDR basically the world reserve currency, as you put it? I don't see that as a very plausible situation. Do you?
To be honest, that depends on how much you believe in central planning and basically forcing something on people that they don't understand and don't agree with. Unfortunately, we have seen that trend becoming more prevalent, and that seems to be the current trend. But, I mean, half of the people of the world don't even know what the SDR is. The other half doesn't even understand how it really works. So, I mean, how is that supposed to work? I'm asking you. But then again, if you had a world government, then, of course, they could say we use that currency, and you have to accept it. I mean, from this point of view, everything's possible. But from a purely market-based democratic point of view, which is still fortunately the majority, is not going to happen in the next 20 years.
That's a good point there, Valentin. Let's focus a little bit more on some of the capital flows that have been coming out of China. First off, we've been reading that China has been selling a number of its U.S. treasuries. I wouldn't say a massive portion, but still a significant percentage. What else can you tell us about this trend and the general capital flows from China?
So this ties in with the SDR argument that some people say there'd be support for the currency where the currency was really under pressure. So A, no support from the SDR. B, this again will be more interesting because now with the inclusion, China will have to disclose what they're actually holding and what they're selling. You'll be able to track it. Now we don't know. We only know the treasuries. There was a number out, so they reduced it by 12.5 billion in September. They still have about $1.2 trillion. But we know that the total stock went down from 4 trillion to 3.5 over the course of more than 12 months, which means that we have even more capital outflows because there's still money flowing into China with trade. I did a rough and ready calculation until the end of September this year, probably about 850 billion left the country in terms of capital outflows. Of course, like I said, there's money flowing in through trade, etc., and a bit net foreign direct investment. And then the interesting number for October was that the PBOC said actually the trend reversed because it's only been negative all the time, money flowing out. The PBOC said, well, actually now we have an increase in foreign exchange reserves of 10 billion or 11 billion. But Goldman Sachs, which tracks actually the transaction of the banking system, which is state-owned and state-controlled, and the PBOC transacts a lot through the banks, they came out yesterday saying that actually if you include that and derivatives, it was another outflow of about 30 billion. So that trend hasn't changed. There's some interesting theories. My theory has always been, you know, the economy is slowing, the interest rates are going down. There's a lot of risk. Asset markets are impaired. The currency is now unsecure, so people naturally would move their money out for sure. But some people say Nomura, for example, believes they're only paying down foreign bank debt, and that now has largely been completed, so we should see an end of the outflows. I don't really buy that argument because, first of all, what makes you pay down the foreign debt? I mean, what happened? And then the other arguments are still valid, that the economy is just, and the assets you can invest in are just all impaired. So you wanna move out.
You know, it's really interesting what a major portion China plays in any economic discussion that's going on right now. You know, whether you're talking about the Europe, whether you're talking about North America, what have you. You know, people talk about the climate over here. People talk about the climate in Europe. And in that conversation, they also say, but, you know, China is also playing a critical role. That was definitely not the case, let's say, 30, 40 years ago, even 20 or 30 years ago. Valentin, always a pleasure. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection, security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimplySafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimplySafeDefense.com. SimplySafeDefense.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
I want to be able to smoke inside, cut down on cigarettes, jog without wheezing, be kissable, and save money.
Then you want Le Cig e-cigarettes. Get the highest quality, best-tasting vaping experience on the market with unmatched customer service from Le Cig. And right now, gobble up this deal. Buy $30 worth of any products and get a starter kit for only $5. Use code SK at checkout. But hurry, offer good only until Thanksgiving at LeCig.com. LeCig.com. Kick some ash with Le Cig.
The lining of your lungs is supposed to be protected with glutathione to neutralize incoming irritants. In the absence of enough glutathione, your lungs are more prone to irritation. Listen to the real-world results of one man using a powerful glutathione-supporting food.
Hi, my name is Bill O'Brien. I generally suffer through an asthmatic breathing-type situation. My breathing is shallow and generally constricted in the nose and lungs. After consuming One World Whey today, I have tremendous energy and also notice my breathing is free. I can feel the air in my left nostril, and it is free all the way to my abdomen, which is pretty remarkable because I rarely get that feeling. Being a singer, I love feeling this unrestricted voice. The only thing new I've actually added to my routine is One World Whey. Wow.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the Cornell Economics Report. Corey and I have a very, very interesting guest right now, really from a human interest standpoint, for lack of better terms. The man's name is Chris Hastings. Chris resides in Thailand. He is a former government investigator, true, worked in some very, very interesting operations, which we're not necessarily going to go into right now. But we're going to talk about a dream that a lot of people have. And I want to stress, we don't necessarily endorse this dream, but everybody has to keep their options open. Chris is truly an expat in the sense that, like Hemingway, he got tired of kind of what was going on in the U.S. Not saying that's good or bad or indifferent or whatever. Moved to Thailand, and we're going to talk about what he's accomplished since he's been over there and what it's like for an American to be living in Thailand. Mr. Hastings, you're on, sir.
Hi, good evening to you guys, or good morning to you guys, I guess.
Yeah.
I moved to Thailand approximately 4 years ago, and I had lived in South America, in Colombia, for approximately 15 years. So that's my background as far as being an expat.
Now, Chris, what's the biggest difference that you find economically and socially for your reasons to move out of the U.S. and what it is like in Thailand?
How I can explain it to you is, in America, it seems like we work like crazy to get to a point where we can retire, and then you go to the doctor, and he doesn't ask you what you eat or what your lifestyle is like. He asks you what medications you're on, and everybody's on four or five different medications for high blood pressure or whatever they may be suffering from, and most of that is related to stress and trying to earn a living. I decided that I wanted to find something different in life. When I retired from the federal government, I had also been in private industry with my wife. I decided I wanted to get out of the U.S. My kids were in college, and they really didn't need me anymore. I was unmarried. I was single. So my brother is a pilot for United in Guam, and he invited me to come out and spend some time in Thailand with him. And I fell in love with it. I guess the reason I fell in love with it is because the reason so many people fall in love with it is the people of Thailand are genuinely really, really nice. They're very open. They call it the land of smiles, and that is true. They're very open. They're very accepting of other cultures, and I just became enchanted with it.
Let's talk a little bit about the economic aspects of how you're living. What's the cost of living like over there, Chris?
I'll give you, for instance, in my situation, I have a beautiful 500-square condo on the 18th floor, brand-new condo, 6 years old, with a view of the bay, of the ocean here, and also a view of the city. And I pay $340 a month, maybe. With electric and everything, it's cost me $400 a month. So maybe you could live like a king for under $500 a month for place to live, real estate. And then food and other things I need are maybe another $400 or $500 max. I would say you could live very, very well here for $1,000, $1,500.
Yeah, mind-blowingly low numbers for, well, someone who lives in Vancouver, which is definitely in the top 10 most expensive cities in the world. That being said, though, Chris, when we were talking off mic to you, you were mentioning a housing boom that's going on right there where places are worth $100+ per square foot when you look at the sale price.
Right. I'm not the only one that says this. There's a guy by the name of Jesse Colombo who writes for Forbes magazine, and I encourage all the listeners to look that up and read that article. There's a huge real estate bubble all over Asia, not just in Thailand. Jesse Colombo's written about it in Hong Kong, Singapore, China, everywhere, but it's especially here in Thailand. The reason why there's a huge bubble is the carry trade. People are borrowing money out of Hong Kong at insanely stupid rates, 0.5%, 1%, and they're trying to spin it into 6 or 8% in growth here. So what that's done, that's all that money's leaked into construction. And we have a huge base here of buyers from China and Russia. The Russian buyers have fallen off the cliff in the last year or so after their currency collapsed. And the Chinese are in trouble. They're not coming like they used to as tourists. So you've really got the Europeans and the Brits and us to hold up the housing market. And that's falling apart too now with euro, with the euro getting smashed. Mm-hmm. So I don't see where this, how this is not going to end in tears.
Elaborate on that for us, would you, as it relates to the real estate market over there?
Okay, I'm in a condo that's 23 floors. One of the condos that my friend bought here, he paid $10 million baht for it, which would be about, I don't know, I think that's around $400,000 for it. Let me back up for a second. Under Thai law, you can only sell 49% of the condos to foreigners. Mm-hmm. The 51% has to be Thai ownership. Well, they jiggle the numbers around on all that to make a sale. And there's all kinds of lawsuits involved and whatnot they don't tell you about. So there's a whole lot of counterparty risk to buying a condo here. So anybody with any sense looks at this thing and says it's 80% unoccupied. There are all these counterparty risks with lawsuits and whatnot. So it really separates buyers who are just have so much money they don't care, and people who are doing due diligence and they don't buy here. Go to the internet and read about all of the real estate scams that have gone along here in Asia for at least 15 or 20 years. To put it in a nutshell, what's happened is these condos are selling off of plan. As they're constructed, they're being sold off of plan. And when interest rates go up in Hong Kong, all these loans have to be paid back in U.S. dollars. So every one of these loans for all these construction projects, every time the dollar ticks up a little bit, you know, they get further and further in the hole.
I think that makes sense. How much do the locals or the other expats there, essentially your friends, pay attention to what's going on internationally?
I would say some of my friends do, maybe half of them do, and half of them don't. The people that buy here and that come here, just you, like my friend just has so much money that he doesn't care. He doesn't care if he loses half the value of the condo or whatever. I would say at least 50% of the people I know are on fixed incomes, and they can't afford to get wiped out. If you put $300,000 into a Thai condo at 33 to a dollar, it's a big difference between that. When it goes to 40 on the dollar, you've lost, you know, 20-25% of your money.
Yeah, very interesting situation. Chris, we want to get you back on. What we would like to ask listeners right now is if you want to hear more about what's going on in the Far East, for an American to live at least a part of the year, what have you, let us know. Mr. Hastings, thank you so much. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Your house is under attack. Every day our homes and families are attacked by harmful gases, mold, and pollutants caused by everyday activities. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 5 to 100 times worse than outdoor air. And the American Lung Association states that poor indoor air can cause infections and chronic lung diseases such as asthma. Protect your family with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Wave ventilation units for basements and crawl spaces reduce moisture that nourishes mold, odors, dust mites, and expels gases and pollutants. Add the Wave 6-stage air purifier to get rid of the viruses, chemicals, and pollutants upstairs for a complete indoor air quality solution. A healthy home is the best investment you can make. Visit WaveHomeSolutions.com. That's WaveHomeSolutions.com. Or call 888-758-WAVE. That's 888-758-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions, for a healthy, comfortable home.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We are chatting right now with Peter Brandt. Peter is a regular guest on our program, very knowledgeable guy, and we're going to talk about probably are not as familiar with as they should be, but if you're in the investment community, you really need to be aware of it because it is critical in understanding international economic situations. It's called the carry trade. Peter, explain the carry trade to our listeners, if you would.
Sure. Let me do that by giving some examples. Company that's an energy company that wants to do some exploration drilling in Canada, well, they're going to have to move some money into the Canadian dollar. It, in effect, what they do is they become – they have to sell dollars. That, in a way, is part of the carry trade, but there's a much bigger component to the carry trade, and that is when the large trading companies, big, sophisticated financial the CFO was a big major corporations, they and taking out loans in the U.S. at basically – you know, very low interest rate, extremely low interest rate. And the cost of money is very, very cheap. And so they do that on a borrowed basis. Mm-hmm. And then they go over and they have for the last few years placed that money in another foreign currency. And the big popular one was Australian dollars for a while, where they could borrow for 2% and place the money at 4% and cash in a 2% lock. And so that they become short dollar to do that. They have to sell dollars to buy Australian dollars because then their money isn't Australian dollars, can earn that interest rate. You can earn Australian interest rates with U.S. dollars sitting in a U.S. bank. That has been done to an enormous degree in the zero interest rate policy, because the U.S., the first country to really embrace the zero interest rate policy, followed by at least the healthy country in Europe, and of course eventually pretty much the world did it, but it started here, and so yeah, people don't have any idea how much money has been borrowed. You know, the Fed talks about how it's monetized its debt. It's placed money into circulation. Well, that money basically goes through the hands of the local of the regional Feds and goes into financial institutions. I calculated, and the numbers are there for anybody to calculate, the data from national settlements, that there is a $9.5 trillion dollar carry trade that is in existence right now, is that U.S. financial institutions, banks, so forth, large trading operations have borrowed $9.5 trillion U.S. dollars to be placed in countries where there are interest rates higher than in. You know, that has to be unwound. It's kind of like the energy markets. You know, you have folks who are familiar with the energy that follow your program, and they know and in the energy market is there was great leveraging that took place. You know, a tremendous amount of leveraging took place in the energy markets when crude oil was, you know, $100. There was leveraging that took place, and as markets have collapsed, what's happened is we've seen a deleveraging. That's what's going on in the energy. It's a deleveraging of the leveraging that took place, and we are, I think, on the leading edge of having the deleveraging of this dollar carry trade take place. That's the story in the dollar. Now, the dollar is very weak today, by the way. I mean, we're seeing quite a setback in the dollar today and quite a bit of strength in some of the foreign currencies. But nevertheless, I think the long-term trend for the U.S. dollar is higher, especially against certain other currencies. I mean, most of the Asian currencies, with the exception of maybe the Japanese yen, will be hurt. We'll see some significant depreciation, I think, in the Chinese yuan. I think the Chinese yuan will probably go through a significant amount of pain. But what we're going to see, I think, is a situation here where it's going to go on for, you know, two, maybe. But I'm not sure the world even recognizes that we have this carry trade that's going to have to be unwound in the currency markets. You know, people are wondering why there has been up. Why would the dollar be up? Why would the dollar be up? And, you know, they're looking at it relative to interest rates. And they're saying, well, you know, if US interest rates go up, the dollar will probably. That means this will do this and this will do that. Well, there's no doubt that a little higher interest rates in the U.S. dollar will attract dollars to the safe haven of the U.S. dollar. I think what's driving the trend in the dollar is far, far deeper than the interest rate, and it is the carry. It is this $9 trillion of the dollar carry trade out there that's going to have to be unwound. And so we will see, especially against a currency like the Swiss franc. The Swiss National Bank has now pegged their interest rate at a minus 90 basis point rate, almost 1%. So are a Swiss citizen and you are holding your money in your bank account is costing you 1% a year just to hold your money in cash. Even if you want to take out, in effect, the T-bill, the three-month Euro-Swiss, which is, in effect, like a T-bill, is right now at a negative 90 basis points. And so there's no way to go. I mean, Swiss citizens, they're caught. They're caught in a squeeze here. And I think there can be some other countries as well that can experience that situation. So, yeah, I think we're going to see an interest rate hike. I don't know when we're going to see the hike. I think I'm not concerned about an interest rate hike. I mean, I've been trading these markets now for a period that's covered five decades, and, you know, I've traded mortgage out at 16%, for goodness sakes. You know, there are years when I made more money in T-bill interest than I did in the markets. And so I this world, by the idea that interest rates can go up, well, you know, from most of history, we had growing economies and healthy economies throughout the world with interest rates, U.S. at 4%, 5%.
Kind of the consensus of the talk around the back of the boiler room, for lack of better terms, is we might see a 25 basis point increase. I would maintain that a 25 basis point increase may do other than perhaps raise the perception of the strength of the U.S. economy. But in terms of practical day-to-day factors, 25 basis points, a quarter of a point, come on, man, that's
I can't believe how weirded out people are with the idea that you 25 or 50 basis point increase in interest rates. That's meaningless. It means nothing. I pity people in the United States that are in fixed incomes. there's no place for them to put money. They're not going to speculate or buy shares in Netflix. You know, people are in their 70s or 80s. You know, the retired people in this country for years relied on interest rate from CDs and T-bonds and so forth to live. And that's how they judge retirement. Here for several generations is, do you have enough money so that you can put it in the bank and you can live off your interest rate? My generation had that mindset. The generation before that had the mindset. We are the first generation, really, the younger people like you, Corey, is generation in this country's history that does not have the mindset that let's save money and we'll just buy T-bills and we'll put it these and so forth, and when we reach retirement age, between the interest that we get on those instruments and our Social Security, we'll have enough money to live on.
We have run out of time, unfortunately, but I think ending on that part says a lot, that it is a very different atmosphere that the people my age are growing up in, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Peter, always enjoyed chatting with you. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Welcome in. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Coilin Economics Report, Al and myself are joined by a regular guest, Mr. Dan Oliver. Dan is the founder of Mermican Capital, based out of New York, and the president of the CMRE, the Committee for Monetary Research and Education. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dan, I want to kick off this segment and chat about the Fed and other central banks. The Fed has obviously been dominating the headlines, everybody, I guess, guessing more or less what they will do with interest rates coming up in December. More and more people are leaning towards a increase in interest rates. But I think the more interesting topic to talk about and the more relevant topic to talk about, and something that Yellen has tried to drive home, is it's not about when interest rates start to rise. It's more about the process that the Fed will go through when increasing interest rates. Do you want to first touch on this?
Well, sure. I would step back, though, and say I don't think it is just a question of when. I still think it's a question of if. I mean, don't forget, the Fed has been promising to raise rates since 2008 when they started these extraordinary programs. They were going to be temporary. They were going to be unwound. The Fed was going to return, raise it to normal. Instead, we got QE2, we got QE3. And the Fed's been playing good cop, bad cop since then, right? Every time the market soars, they say, oh, we're going to raise rates. Then the market weakens. They say, oh, no, we're just kidding. We're going to keep them at zero. So they've been trying to manage the market price level, the economic activity by just jawboning the market this way and that. And in September, that meant being very dovish, and October meant being very hawkish. But it's still not clear to me that they're going to raise rates, and for a few reasons. One is, as various analysts have pointed out, they have said in the past that they'll give the market lots and lots of notice before they do that, and they haven't really done. They haven't prepared the market for how they're going to raise rates, as you point out. The other reason is that if you look at the metrics, the Fed itself says it looks at CPI, industrial production, retail sales, all those things. They're all extremely weak. If you look at them over the cycle, they're actually weakening. And in fact, as people have pointed out, myself included, that in other cycles, this would be a moment the Fed would be talking about loosening monetary policy, not tightening it. So the real reason they're talking about tightening it is just to restore their credibility. They've been talking this game for so long. They've done nothing about it. And so I think the feeling is, well, if they can just raise 25 basis points just to show they can, then wouldn't that be great? And 25 basis points is a little, it won't matter anyway, and so maybe they might do it. And look, that may be true. It's a technical thing that, of course, they can raise if they decide to raise it. It's self-referential. But I think long-term, looking at the broader picture, they simply cannot raise rates overly high. And the reason is a fewfold. One is the amount of debt the corporate sector has taken on is absolutely enormous, and they've been able to get away with it because rates are so low. That means that their interest payments are low. And so as the Fed raises rates, those payments go up, and the corporate sector, not to mention consumers who borrow money, will be in a much worse position. If you look at certain rates, like the triple C, which is the subprime borrowing rate for companies, that has been soaring over the past years. It's gone from -8%, below 8%, to almost 15%. That's the cost of capital of the marginal business using the marginal amounts of capital. That's already gone up. That's already starving those companies of cash. So it's not at all clear to me that they can do it as a sustained matter. I would also mention that in the minutes that came out this week, one of the things the Fed said, which is, of course, absolutely nutty, is that the short-term equilibrium real rate was zero right now. I mean, the real rate is supposed to measure societal time preference. So if I said to you, Corey, look, do you want an apple today or an apple in 10 years or 100 years? You say, well, I'd rather have it today. Thank you very much. Right? That illustrates the fact that there is a natural interest rate. So when rates are zero, it implies that you don't care if you get the apple today or in 10 years. And that, of course, is an absurdity. Even Bernanke thinks it's absurdity. He gave the example of at zero rates, it would make sense to flatten the Rocky Mountains to save on the gas that cars spend going up and down the mountain. So this is, of course, crazy. But they say, oh, no, it's just temporary, but the real long-term real rate is also very low. And that's given the market a boost because the thinking is, well, what they're signaling is they're not going to raise rates very high anyway, even when they do raise rates, and so therefore the party can keep going. I have my doubts about that, but that's the current thinking in the market.
Well, what I think is interesting, Dan, when you talk about to raise interest rates or not to raise interest rates, you know, we talked about this earlier in the show with Peter Brandt, and as I brought out, you know, a 25 basis point increase in the interest rate from a practical standpoint would do absolutely nothing in the financial world. The only thing it would do is it may change the perception of some of the players in that particular universe, because they may think, well, you know, the Fed is raising rates 25 basis points. Sure, it's only a quarter of a point, but the fact of the matter is that means they have faith in the continuing strength of the financial markets. You know, perception is everything, man.
Let's go back there to the mechanism, right? I mean, usually the way the Fed moves short-term rates around is that it buys and sells short-term treasury bonds, right? It usually holds a bunch of treasury bonds, and if they want to lower rates, they buy more. If they want to raise rates, they sell them, right? The problem is they don't own any anymore. The operation twist, remember, they sold their bills and they bought the long-term 10-year, 30-year bonds. Okay, so the question is, how do they do it? And they've designed these other facilities that are very complex that they think will work. It's possible that they say we're going to raise rates and then rates don't rise, right? It's possible that the new facilities they have don't work. And no one has priced that into the market. So it's not even obvious how they raise rates. They haven't talked about it a lot. So again, when I say I'm not sure if they're going to raise rates, what I mean is that, first of all, the economics don't suggest that they shouldn't, according to their numbers, that they shouldn't. And of course, I think rates should be much higher, but they've created this bubble. And if they want to keep the bubble from collapsing, they have to continually low rates. And it's not even clear to me that they know how to raise rates. So I think December could be very, very interesting.
Now, Dan, we all do need to realize that the Fed, at least in my mind, is out there to make sure of the overall health of the banks in the U.S. The central bank is out there to, in a way, support the banks. So I don't think they're going to make any decisions that they believe will truly hurt the banks. But that being said, I feel like they have talked it up enough that they might go ahead and raise these rates. What sort of international implications, if any, do you think that would have?
Well, again, I think Alan's a good point, which is 25 basis points in the grand scheme of things is very, very tiny. And so it's hard to imagine that amount of increase is going to have that much difference. But again, I don't forget, you're dealing with very, very dynamic systems here that I don't think anyone fully understands. And if you consider the magnitude of interest rate derivatives. I mean, I've lost count. I mean, every time you read it, it's different. But there's upwards of $600 trillion of these things. Now, in theory, they all balance each other out, right? But no one actually knows. And so what is a tiny increase from 0 to 25% do to that structure? I don't think anyone knows, right? And we already see that in bearish emerging markets, all the BRICS, which were all the rage in the past 10, 20 years, right, already have credit problems. I mean, Brazil is in a huge problem. Why? Because they're no longer shipping iron ore and oil to China, right? That was driving that economy, right? Because China is blowing up. And the same thing in Turkey, right? Turkey was this great, you know, some edge of Europe. It was finally coming to the modern world. But guess what? It was all based on credit. And now they've got a huge debt they can't pay back. Same thing in Russia. So it's not obvious that 20 basis points tips over the apple cart, but it certainly doesn't help, right? You have these other borrowers, these subprime borrowers who are already in trouble. And so, a normal cycle, the Fed would be easing, instead they're tightening. They're going the wrong direction according to what they should be doing, according to their playbook. And so I think that's what makes the raise so interesting and so dangerous for markets. I think it's very good for gold because I think it accelerates the next crisis. And so it accelerates time at which gold will start going crazy again. We'll see. We'll see how they do it. We'll see what effect it has. And I think, again, all it can do is accelerate the next crisis.
Basically, confidence or lack thereof is everything in the economy today. And I think the house of cards that exists in the U.S. economy around now is amazing to me. I mean, I think a lot of people are pedaling as fast as they can to keep it propped up because they know that if it's going to fall, we're going to have a very, very dramatically serious situation on our hands. And that's why I think that, you know, it really is all about perception more than anything else at this point.
But again, I'm not sure I agree it's all perception. I think it's all debt. And again, in my last update, I reproduced two charts that show two mm-hmm. things. One is debt has gone crazy because of low interest rates, although it's gone so crazy that interest payments are going up anyway. So rates go up, those payments are going up a lot. And at the same time, corporate EBITDA and the whole economy is falling now, right? So that's the ability to pay the debts. So remember, what happens is when the Fed lowers rates, it encourages very long-term economic projects, right? And so you get overcapacity, you lose pricing power, prices fall, right? And then margins go down, you go out of business. And if that happens in the context of rates going up, it happens even faster. And so what I think kills the economy is the inability to pay all the debt these companies have taken on. And that inability stems from the fact that there's massive amounts of overcapacity in the economy.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and
installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.